to talk about cities and how we can make them the best places to make the music scene grow and flourish. My name is Johanna, and I have a nice group of people who will come up on the stage to talk about this. So I want you to please welcome Jeff Thompson from Manchester. Da-da.
No, stop it. No.
Jesse Hartke from Wichita. Thomas Tompa Lindberg from Göteborg. Jeff, you are the co-founder of Unconvention.
Yeah. Yes.
So will you just give us a picture of what Unconvention is and who you are?
Who I am is a bit deep for this time. But so Unconvention is actually very similar to this. We run music conferences. We're based in Manchester in the UK. We started doing music conferences in 2008 because we used to run record labels and we didn't understand how it worked anymore. And then for the last 15 years, we've had Unconventions in our city. But it was at a time where everyone was quite confused about, you know, releasing music and what was happening. So we seemed to sort of hit a bit of a rich vein of people coming from other cities saying, oh, we want to do something similar. So there's now been 111 Unconventions in 25 countries on five continents. So we do Unconventions in Manchester, but we also do them in small towns and big places in the UK, like Hastings or Preston or London. That's a big town. But we've also done them in Brisbane and Copenhagen and Liberia and South America, you know, Venezuela, lots and lots of different places. But they're essentially like this, but just in those different contexts. Mm. So that's the main thing I do. But I used to run record labels, I manage bands, I still book bands for other people and things like that.
Mm. And you are originally from Manchester?
No. Like most people in the Manchester music, no, I'm from Middlesbrough, which is the northeast. But I moved to Manchester 20 years ago, and I've been pretty much doing the music since for that long.
Okay, cool, thank you. And Jesse, you are involved in several areas of the music business in Wichita. So would you just present a little bit of yourself and the work that you do?
I'm Jesse Hartke. I am originally from the suburbs of Wichita, Kansas, and I've migrated, 20 miles. I've spent the last 20 years along with my business and everything partner. In fact, promoting shows was the way we started in the music business. We met a month later. We were putting on shows together. We quickly developed quite a repertoire of venues across the city where we were promoting shows. In 2018, we purchased and built venues. We purchased a historic ballroom, and simultaneously we built an indoor-outdoor performance venue. It was our city's first outdoor venue. It was very exciting, with 4,000 capacity. At that point, we really thought that was the trajectory that our careers were going to take us. But like many of us, 2020 brought about so many unknowns. And while it was very traumatic for the industry as a whole, for us, it was really silver lining. We were able to band together with venue owners across the country and other amazing people, such as Reverend Moose, who we all share a panel yesterday. But there were independents across the United States who banded together to create a truly beautiful moment and have our country's largest arts funding bill ever passed at $16.5 billion. So we had this truly amazing moment where we were able to save thousands of venues and jobs across our country. And out of that, we had even more amazing opportunities present. Along with a number of those independent venue owners, we were able to form Detour, one of our country's first coast-to-coast booking collectives. It's allowing independents across our country to have more of a voice at the table, you know, with those multinationals that have historically dominated those conversations. We are working tirelessly every day to create a louder voice for us independents. We were also given an amazing chance to launch Meadow, Music Ecosystem and Artist Development Organization of Wichita, in 2021. Wichita has historically been an overlooked and under-resourced market within the music industry. That being said, we've also had a lot of amazing moments. What Wichita has had that has led up to Meadow, it's been many moments of innovation. For example, Wichita on Halloween, so October 31st, 1932, we had the world's first electric guitar performance. That was a bit of an innovative moment for music history, right? In 1940, Charlie Parker recorded his first work. Wichita, well overlooked, we've been incredibly innovative within the music industry. We've also had, as many markets had, we've seen our fair share of exploitation, which is also one of the main elements that we're working to upend. There was a gentleman within the music scene in Wichita named Rudy Love Sr., who was from a musical family, moved out to LA, as so many musicians do within the United States, and almost immediately signed a really bad record deal. And even though he did amazing things, like help create a number of the works with Sly and the Family Stone and James Brown, was just exploited throughout his career. He came back to Wichita, and there were a number of us within the Wichita music ecosystem who were lucky enough to apprentice under him and really learn the ways that the music industry needed to be changed. And those concepts, those two main concepts, that innovation and the need to eradicate exploitation, are really driving what Midtopia and Meadow are striving to do within our scene and across the country and across the globe, because why not?
Thank you. And Thomas, you are the singer in the band At the Gates, and you were also guilty of being a part of creating the Gothenburg sound, yeah?
They say so, yeah.
Yeah, they say so. Yeah. But if you just want to give us a short presentation of yourself and your work.
Yeah, basically I'm a musician, not part so much of the industry, sorry. Played Manchester a few times, never played Wichita.
Not yet.
For obvious reasons, yet then, before you started your thing there. Been doing it since I was 16. I come from the DIY kind of scene building back in the day. So it's interesting to hear a lot of the new stuff that is happening. Might maybe make it easier for newer artists to come out. We had to do it on our own a little bit.
Yeah, cool. And today you work as a teacher also, yeah?
Yeah.
we just dive into this. And starting a little bit with Manchester. Obviously, it's been happening a lot in Manchester over the years. the list never ends of the bands that comes from there. So how come that all that amazing music happened in Manchester? I mean, it's a big question.
I'll work backwards. It might be easier. So the reason I think, for example, that Manchester is very successful right now is you have 215 venues that program music, of which over 30 are music venues, just predominantly music venues. And if I sort of run through them off the top of my head, you've got a 40 cap at an 80 capacity, 120, 150, 180, 220, 250, 300, 600, 750, there's an 800 opened, there's a 1200, 2,500, there's a 5,000 open last month, there's a 6,000, an 8,000. The smaller arena goes from 9 to 13. We've got a new arena opening next month that goes from 20 to 23. Mm. Then you've got a cricket ground that does 30,000, two football stadiums that do 50 and 55, and you've got two new parks licensed to 75,000 within a mile. Mm. So why I think it's successful now is you could, and some artists have, build your career by selling out the small venue, going to the next venue, and going to the next venue.
Yeah.
And you can see that. Does that make sense? Mm. Because you know that if you're in the city, that is a route that's there for you. It's genre specific. It's not the route every band takes. So what you've actually got is a very self-fulfilling scene, because then people move to the city because that's the scene. Like I moved there, as like I joke and said before, a lot of people in the Manchester music scene aren't necessarily from there. You've also got three big universities. You've got 120,000 students, and that's good for when you have emerging stuff. But it's a big scene. I mean, we had a Saturday in the summer where Coldplay, the Arctic Monkeys, and Elton John played on the same night in one thing. So it's successful, but And it's weirdly successful because that's not representative of the rest of the UK, by the way. Like, that is freakish. It's the second biggest music market in the UK outside of London. It generates, I think it's £469 million, you know, 10 times that in terms of music and jobs and everything else. So it works. The thing that really makes it work is every show has a door price, and you can go 10 miles out of Manchester and it's the opposite. It's like everything's got to be free and you try to get people in, and it's, whereas even a band putting on, or an artist putting on their very first gig, will charge £5, £7, and then, you know, it can go up. You'll get artists that within 5 years of that can be selling out 3,500 capacity venues and not really being that well known outside of that, you know. So I think why it's successful is that's how it is now. How it got there is a little bit murky, because I think a lot of people will reel off the bands, you know, like, and then don't get me wrong, that helped. 15 years ago, Manchester was nothing like this. Mm. It was, you know, like the dingy bit of town had the venues, the Northern Quarter, and then it got gentrified. The city's very prosperous. So what I'm saying, it's a perfect storm. You've got a lot of students, you've got a lot of money coming into the city, so people have disposable income. You've got a culture where people expect music to be made, so people move to the city to make music. Yeah. There's some brilliant music, there's some not so good music. Mm. So it's this kind of, so that's where we're at. How it got there, there's a various, you know, the history of the city doesn't hurt. But also, you know, along the way, in truth, which I think is fascinating, a few people knuckle down. That's what happens. So you've got the areas, now the Northern Quarter, you've got a venue called the Night and Day, was just a guy who bought a venue and booked and booked and no one came and booked and no one came and booked and no one came, and then someone came and then it got bigger and now it's this, the catalyst of everything around it. Mm. But I think it's hard to replicate that because of, you need the infrastructure in the city. That amount of venues is unique to us. Mm. And also, I don't know if anyone's been, it's a big, small city. So it's several million people, but you can walk everywhere in 20 minutes. The bigger picture that we have, at the problem that we have at the minute, is around the city. So it's actually Greater Manchester, is Manchester City Centre with 10 cities, towns around it. Those 10 towns have the exact opposite fortune. So the venues have closed down, all of the people coming into the city centre. And I think someone said on the last panel, was Robin, you know, you, the general feeling at the minute is people will spend a lot of money on a big thing and not so much lower down. So I think we're in quite a transitional time. So it's very successful at the moment. It became successful because it's a big university town. It's a northern town that's done well. You know, it's a creative place. People, there's a reputation. Mm. I think we're in a... Actually, I think we're in... And what's different from the rest of the UK is the venues are still open. Like, we've got more venues now than we had before the pandemic, and that's, again, the polar opposite of everyone else. There's still an appetite. The second arena is going to be the second biggest arena in Europe. So we've got an arena, which is one of the biggest in Europe, and they're building another one. What I'm trying to say is it's feeling like gluttony now. Does that make sense? We've just had a £220 million arts centre built. Mm. And everyone's like, there's a point where there's a peak, there's the journey, there's the peak. And my concern, genuinely, and I'm on the Great Music Manchester Commission, is it becomes gluttony. And when it gets to gluttony, you end up with what you see elsewhere, which is very big things sucking in all the money. Mm. And the thing that makes Manchester cool and made it what it is all the little things.
Yeah.
And I think that's the fight we always take in Manchester. It's not about the Stone Rose, you know, they're great, Oasis, blah, blah, blah. That's not what makes Manchester a great music city. It's the thousands of people who are battling away, losing money on shows. Yeah. And that's what we've still got. And that's what we've got to protect. So it's successful for all the things that people, well, not, we don't overlook it, but from the outside can be overlooked. Mm. And, you know, and I think it's important. I recognise it because I travel a lot and go to a lot of different music scenes. The fact that you can be 18, 19, 20 years old and be in that city and think, Jesus, if I really knuckle down, I can do these things here. And that's pretty rare. So that's
cool.
My general view of why it sort of does so well. Mm.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting, like the venues, the different sizes, that it's so important that you have all the levels, yeah?
Yeah.
And I would like to take a quote from you and give to people, politicians working with city planning and stuff, because, yeah. But I know you studied in Leeds at the university.
I did. How do you know that?
Yeah. Well, Google.
Amazing. Yeah. What's Google?
But
I did, Leeds has got a great music scene.
Yeah.
So Leeds is, But this is the fortune that Liverpool is with. So, I mean, if you, who cares, right? The geography of the UK. But Manchester's sort of like got the momentum. It's the snowball city now. Mm. This is the thing. So Liverpool obviously has the real history. And I don't know if anyone's here from Liverpool. But I think their scene isn't, you know, 10, 15 years ago, those scenes were comparable. But the Manchester scene now is, they might not like to admit it, but is way far and beyond. Like I say, like two arenas, stadiums, international touring acts. There's no one who doesn't play Manchester at any level. Like, that's what I say to my kids. My daughter's 10. She wants to live in the countryside because she likes horses. I'm like, great, go and do that at some point. But right now, you live in a city where within 15 minutes of your house, at some point, you can probably see anything from Taylor Swift to a Swedish rock band. You know, it's all going to come to you. Cool. Whereas Leeds and Liverpool, I think, you know, we have a kind of very... We're a small island, and we have booking agents, some might be here, who are very sort of binary about how it works. You've got London, Bristol, Manchester, Glasgow, and we've got loads of stuff around that that's losing, you know, that's sort of shrinking as a result of that kind of the big cities being dominant. But Leeds is a great music city. I mean, that's had a great, you know, goth scene and all sorts, and the club scene in the 90s was brilliant. It's like the dance side of it, which we often don't talk about, was... And there's an amazing venue called the Brudenell Social Club in Leeds, which is generally thought of as one of the best venues in the country, I think, anyway, but around the sort of 500-600 capacity. It's a great scene, but like I say, you go and compare it to Manchester, they're really not on the same level anymore.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And but Sheffield is another city quite close, big
also. I don't know. So their big venue is under threat, which is more to do with licensing. I think what you're getting at as well is you get these sort of cycles where you'll get the Arctic Monkeys, Rebel and the Makers, you'll get in Manchester, you've got, I mean, really now, not so much. You've had Blossoms, you've got AH, you know. So this is actually an important point. So what happens is you get scenes that, like Sunderland, which is quite a small town in the office, had a scene at one time where you had the Future Heads. And so, like, individual places have their sort of moment in the sun. Does that make sense? Manchester probably hasn't really had that at that level for a long time. But the point is it's got that ecosystem that means at any point it could happen. And I keep saying it doesn't matter if it happens or not. It doesn't matter if there's another Oasis. What it matters is that there's all those venues there for all the bands or artists trying to do something. And I think, someone said on the last panel, you know, the measure's always in the six, like the big one huge headline artist is the measure of success. And I would say, although Manchester's got those things, you'd measure its success by the fact that if you go out any day of the week, there's 40 brand new artists playing original music. And this is the other big difference between, say, our city and elsewhere, is it's all original music. So you don't get cover bands, you don't get tributes. And in the city centre, this is to give you the dichotomy, everything in every venue is original artists, from big famous ones to brand new ones. Everything has a ticket price. But if you were to go 10 miles out to Bolton or Bury or the towns around it, it would be the opposite. It would be cover bands, tribute artists, free at the door. And that's probably like the UK all over, actually. The big, you know, most of the music scene in less big city, cultural city areas is cover bands, or because it's too hard. Like, if you're making original music, you need that first adopter audience. And in Manchester, you've got 120,000 students. So if even 1% of them think, oh, we'll take a punt on it, you can fill a small venue.
Of course.
So that's it. It's like, it's got this wonderful... And people try and take credit for it. Like we have this problem. Like the council, like, oh, you know. It's like, it's not. It's the combined efforts of loads of tiny things over a long time that's made it this thing that's successful. So, you know, we don't have to fixate on this band or that band or this thing. It's back to, like, what is the music industry? That is the music industry. The music industry is that. And what spills out of it every once in a while is Oasis or Take That or, you know, Everything or Blossoms or blah, 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 blah. So, yeah. But those other cities, I don't think, have that, just because they don't quite have that same mix. But at any given time, this is what's exciting about music, because I think we were talking about other places where stuff happens, is at any time, at any point, someone can come out of a scene. It's all I'm saying is the Manchester scene's full of stuff. Like, there's this amount of stuff going on is ridiculous. But there's other smaller towns in the UK, like Hastings, which we do events at that I love, 90,000 people. They've got two or three bands at the minute. Nova Twins are out of there, Kid Capici. They are all doing better than any Manchester bands, and they're from this small town. So I don't want to get lost in the romance. You know, the facts are we've got all these venues, there's lots of opportunity, there's lots of young people go out, there's enough money for it to function. Mm. But it's not the be all and end all. But like I keep saying, the goal of the whole thing is not to just produce the next big band. Mm. It's to have this exciting culture. Mm. But you need an audience that's open to that. And that's what I'm saying. That audience, that's the other thing we're very privileged to have, is enough people who'll just go and watch new stuff. Mm. They're not waiting for just celebrities or tribute bands. Mm. So, yeah, we're lucky. We're very, very lucky. Yeah.
Cool. Nice to hear. It really sounds like a jungle or like a rainforest. what about Wichita? If we say that one of the important things to make the music scene grow in a creative way is to have good venues in many different sizes. Then there are other things as well, of course. But how does it look in Wichita?
Agreed. Yeah, the need for venues of various sizes to allow artists to grow is seminal in a scene that you want to really foster growth with artists. And we are lucky enough to have that within Wichita. You know, we have a great 100 cap venue just down the street from ours. It'd be nice to have something a little bit larger, but you know, we got a 500 indoor cap. That'll work just fine. Across town, we got one that's about 850. Our cotillion can scale down to about 1,000. It holds 2,000 at the max. And then we have outdoors at Wave, which can scale down to 2,000, and we can scale up to 4,500. So within Wichita, you know, it really fills the voids necessary. We are not as large of a scene as Manchester. So at this point, you know, we have the critical mass necessary to allow artists to grow. Something else that I really love about our scene that I think, you know, we're on the opposite end of the spectrum of where Manchester is. We have had a history, as I mentioned earlier, we are at the beginning of our journey into becoming a sustainable music ecosystem. And something that I really love about our market for artists and music workers is that when you are at the beginning of that journey, there's no expectations on artists. They can create what they feel called to create with their art. There is no expectations on them. They are not worried about managers or artists out in the crowd who are wanting to sign them. They're not worried about any kind of pre-existing concepts to confine their music to. And it really allows for art of so many various sounds to blossom in a relatively small city. And that's one of the things I just absolutely love about the market that I'm helping to grow.
Mm. Sounds nice. Yeah, cool. And what about Gothenburg? Ooh, yeah. Do we have? Are you pleased with the venues that we have in our town?
Well, I mean, there's a lot more than when we started out, for sure. We were playing youth halls. You know, that's how punk, hardcore, and metal started in Gothenburg, playing youth halls and squats, actually. You know, that's first 2 or 3 years. Couple of small venues, but of course it's better now. We have a few 500, 800 capacity venues that are good, but there's still a gap, and you know that the city planners, and they're selling out a lot of land and buildings to rich Norwegian hotel owners and whatever, and closing down a lot of the free art places, which is horrible. But I think for me personally, I mean, I don't see the big picture as much as you, because I'm just an artist, whatever, but I feel like grew up in a stage where you knew you had to fix it yourself as a musician. You know, you try to book shows, and like, you took down your friends from Stockholm for a show, booked a youth hall for the evening, stuff like that. So I was happy with that, in a way, you know what I mean? So I don't really know where we're at the moment. We're kind of like in the middle of what you're talking about. I think Gothenburg has always had the, compared to Stockholm, which is the bigger city, big brother, kind of. Gothenburg has always had musical integrity with the bands and the art. And there's, you know, we can mention a lot of, from every aspect of music, there's a good quality music here in Gothenburg. And I think the fact is that we never really cared about getting big or succeeding. And it was always down to what you mentioned before, the one person with the fire, you know? We had the best venue in town, Truckstop Alaska, closing down a couple of years ago now. All based on persons that just fought for it. And, you know, that's kind of where I come from, I guess, you know. So I don't see where we are compared to, you were worried about, is it getting too good a little bit, you know what I mean? And you're just starting out, you say, which is an opportunity, really, to shape it yourself. Whereas I, the scene I grew up in was just, we lived in the moment, you know, and saying that we were 16, 18 years old. So, yeah, before the internet as well, I have to say. So we didn't really know what was going on in the other cities either. We had no idea. We couldn't Google what was going on in Manchester. We kind of could write a letter to our friend in Stockholm. Do you have a youth club we can play? You know, I mean, that's kind of where we were.
But when we talk about the Gothenburg sound, what do you have to say about this?
That it doesn't exist.
And I knew we were going to answer that. But I mean, there are bands who's been out in the whole world, and they say that, yeah, you just say that you come from Gothenburg if you're a metal band, and then you hire the pay, like double it.
I don't know about the pay. I don't know about that, actually. No. Now I would say, again, going back to what you were saying before about Manchester, it's not so much about the big name or whatever, really. It's always been about honesty to the music. And then, as you said, like building and creating a little scene around you, even if it's just three bands, one promoter, one person who writes a fanzine, whatever, you know, that was really important for us when we grew up, you know, and also that it was a world, like global scene, the death metal underground, you know, it's not local. When we started out my first band, we were the only band in Gothenburg that we knew that played death metal, but we had friends all over, you know? So I think that was the important part of it. The Gothenburg sound, of course, it, like when one band is slightly successful, releasing an album on an international label, people lean a little bit more to that sound, maybe, I don't know. But you get inspired by each other. Every scene, like music scene, now I'm not talking about venues or communities like that, but like musical, it's always one band that kind of breaks through a little bit and then inspires, oh yeah, yeah. But not actually musically, just the feeling of, oh, maybe we can also get on an international label or whatever, you know. Which was never, ever really the goal, you know. To release a really good demo, get it reviewed in a fanzine, that was the goal. Everything else after that has been a bonus.
Cool. Yeah. But so when you started, we often talk about like support systems that you can to help bands or artists. What support did you get from like the city or?
Back in those days, before before Sweden got a little bit more capitalistic, before Sweden got a little bit more right wing, we had a lot of support, you know, like the free rehearsal spaces. You can do study circles, and there was a big support system. It's still there a little bit, but you have to fight a little bit harder. But that back then, you could just basically go to any youth club. Oh, yeah, we want to rehearse, and you just yeah. Do you need instruments? We'll buy them for you. Kind of. But I guess that's going down a little bit, the funding, but it was very easy to start a band. So, yeah. The socialism. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess helped us a little bit. But then to actually, you know, go out and play, that, you know, you had to fight that a little bit yourself. Build it from scratch.
But I mean, we really have had, or have still, but a tradition of, like, funding or support from the society. For doing like music or cultural art things. So, but yeah,
I think that really helps.
It's a changing, you know? Maybe. But
and if you look at all the big names now from Sweden, my age or 10 years younger, we all had lived in that support system when we, you know, people believed in you, even if you know.
Also, I think about this like music competition, Rockslaget.
I never competed in that. No. But friends did.
But also like initiatives from the city, like stuff. Yeah, cool. And what about Wichita? I know it's the city itself has a tradition of a lot of like entrepreneurship and Is that, can you, do you bring this into the music scene a lot?
Because it's, yes, yeah. Yes, very much so. That is at the heart of what we do. We are in the United States in general and with our municipality, we are not lucky enough to have funding at all. When you mentioned that there were spots for bands to go and play, I mean, it just made my heart so happy. That's something that we are lobbying for right now, is we are trying to find places to get bands, just that basic need of a rehearsal space.
Just raise to Texas in America. You're fine.
I'm doing everything I can. So yeah, well, we do not have that. You know, you might as well go with the capitalism, because that's what we have to work with, right?
Sorry.
Oh no, it's not my ideal, but that's the system I'm in. So what we are doing is we're leaning into the entrepreneurship, because if that's the path that we have available, that's what we're going to take. We are, you know, one of the routes we're taking is we're viewing this as what Midtopia and Meadow, these are small business incubators. We are teaching these bands that they cannot view themselves only as artists. If they want to make a living off of their bands, if they want to have a sustainable trajectory, they have to have a much wider view of how they treat their career. They need to view this as a business. And so, you know, we're currently working on putting together business plans. We're working out budgets. We're really leaning into that entrepreneurship spirit of our city and making it work for our artists. We're trying to recraft this idea of the bohemian artist, because that's not available. That's not a pathway that's available. If you are in Wichita, Kansas, you cannot view yourself as an artist alone. I mean, you can, but you're going to get your electricity turned off. So, you know, we are working towards pathways of creating art in a culture that doesn't value culture, I guess.
Okay, so is it, I mean, when I read about both Meadow and Midtopia, then from a Swedish point of view, I really get the impression that this is something that has funding and stuff. But is it?
Yes, yes, we are incredibly lucky that, you know, like I mentioned, we're leaning into American capitalism. So there is, we have a local philanthropist with more money than they could ever know what to do with. And they frequently tell us they love their kids and they love music. And so, you know, they've got great kids. Let's get great music in town too. Mm. So that's the path that we have been granted to create these initiatives.
Mm. It's just so interesting how different it is. Well, what about in Manchester about like support from the city for?
So like I said, we've got a very successful scene that a lot of people will take credit for, but haven't really put in, I think. So in the UK more generally, this is what's happening is, like, live music's more successful this year than any ever before, even pre-pandemic, but all the money's going to the top. So the big narrative in the UK is about what we call pipeline funding, which is if you're going to be selling out stadiums, some of the money from that stadium needs to go back to the 100-cap venue, because the 100-cap venue will always lose money. And you need them to be able to lose money, because although they might not deliberately be trying to do it, someone needs to put on the artist that nobody knows. Because if you don't have that, you don't have the £450 million music scene. So, like, we always make analogy with football. I believe I book bands for Manchester City football as well, but football clubs in our country are brilliant at that. The big successful clubs plough millions of pounds into tiny clubs where kids are playing, because that's their next 10 years' time, that's their next £25 million. So on a national level, that's our problem, is that we've been left to our own devices. The government they do support arts, and ostensibly they support music, but really they support opera, theatre. What young people are doing in their bedrooms or kids are trying to do in small venues is never seen as, like, the main thing that they'll invest in. I don't want to paint too bleak a picture, because, you know, don't get me wrong, we have arts funding, we're lucky. We're not like America where there's zero. We do have it. But it relies far more on, there's a ton of people, like there's 11,000 people, jobs supported by music in Manchester. I know a lot of people who work in music in Manchester, but like people have said, they're not full-time. They're not earning anywhere near the wages, and certainly the artists aren't. So they're creating this enormous value for the city that eventually pays off when the Killers come, or Foo Fighters come, or, well, you know, they're not from it, but the money gets spent there, and it doesn't trickle back down. So we have, like, we're very lucky, we have a thing called the Music Venue Trust, which is 900, 1,000 venues have all got together. to try and push and lobby. But the main lobbying they're having to do is the government doesn't respond, the current government. So it is like saying to arenas, like they're having a battle at the minute with the arena saying, we want £1 from every ticket you sell put back in. So in Manchester, they're going to build this new arena. It's an American-owned arena. I can't remember, with Saudi backing. So none of it, as far as capital goes, none of it's from the region. Every penny that gets spent there goes somewhere else. Mm. They're pitching to sell 2.7 million tickets a year in that venue for international artists. And you've got that audience because it's because of the scene. So they're trying to pitch saying, we want £1 of every ticket. So £2.7 million reinvested into the rehearsal rooms. So, and I don't want to paint it too bleak, like it's first world problems and it's all too successful. But the reality of the problems is things like, we've lost our rehearsal rooms because we're getting gentrified. So the area that's called the Northern Quarter that people generally know about from the Manchester music scene is properly like Chanel are doing their catwalk. They've closed the streets down. It's hanging on to not being bulldozed for five-star hotels. The most famous venue in the Northern Quarter is the Night and Day Cafe. The reason the Northern Quarter is called the Northern Quarter is because it used to be this dive place and the venues had a meeting and said, let's call it the Northern Quarter. And they're, for the last 2.5 years, have had a noise abatement order hanging over their heads where they've got the council saying, we can close you down because you're too noisy because you're in this area that everyone wants to live. So this is the other victim of success stuff is there's enough money going around, if you see what I mean. But I like to think of it as, it's not quite capitalism, it's like the commodification of grassroots, right? So there's a lot of DIY stuff happening. But because in our city there's so much of it, there's people who've worked out that they can get a spreadsheet and do this, that, and the other. So what we need in Manchester is we need more space for people to do shit stuff, like stuff that doesn't work. That's what you actually need. A good music scene needs the stuff that isn't successful.
Mm. Yep.
And it needs to be super protected. Not just so that people can mess about, it's not for romantic reasons. It's like you need that space because that's where everything else comes from. Mm. And that's what we're really in danger of losing. Like the middle's great, the top's very well. We've got like SGMs are in Manchester, is the biggest independent promoter, I think, in the UK. So you've got Live Nation Egypt, but we've got a huge, £200 million a year turnover promoter. There's loads of money getting made. Like in most of capitalism stroke economics, we won't go into it. The trickle down is nearly zero. So we do have it, and we do fight for government funding, and it's like everything post-pandemic. Like, we Brexit, so that's cocked it all up, because now we don't have any EU funding, so the pressure on the local arts funding is ramped up. Mm. So venues are struggling at that level. They can't get the support they need, and yet we're in an industry that makes £5.2 billion a year that could just take a tiny bit of that and put it back in. And I'm not saying it's not moving. So in the last, like our last event, we had our biggest domestic ticketing company is Skiddle. So they came to our event and announced that they're going to do that. They're going to give a percentage of every ticket to grassroots venues. We've had one arena agree to do it. There's been a couple of tours, like Enter Shikari have agreed to do it. There's another bigger venue have agreed to basically take some of their massive income and put it back in. But obviously, you need a lot. But I think because of that as well, and because it's a successful sector, when it comes to public money, it doesn't get it. You see what I mean? It's like, oh, the music industry said successful, so we ain't going to publicly fund it. It's like, yeah, but we're not asking you to fund Taylor Swift. We're asking you to fund this bit, which really, I agree, you shouldn't have to. They should, but we're in a Mexican standoff because you ain't doing it and they ain't doing it and everyone's working for now. So everyone, I mean, and again, someone made the point about bands who work. Like, there's bands in Manchester signed to major labels who still deliver pizzas. Like, I did a talk with Idols. Idols, 8 years into the career, all still had jobs. Hmm. So we like probably Sweden has and everyone else, have this huge problem of the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer, but because the rich are getting richer, everyone's got to get out, going, oh, well, it's not, they're fine, it's great. So that's like, again, I don't want to get that Manchester's too successful. That sounds really sort of pretentious. I'm not, but what I'm saying is it causes problems because everyone I know is not financially successful, let's say. They might be successful in what they're trying to do. Hmm. And we can't, it's very difficult to make that argument at the minute to get public funding because, it's spread very thin. So really, really, we need the bigger companies to stand up. And they're starting to. I don't want to be, again, you can see it in the last 6 months, the needle's done that. But all it'll take is, like, we've got 8 big arenas being built. If all of them agree to take a tiny percentage of all of that money through and put it into this sort of place, then you've sort of solved 90% of the problem. And it's very frustrating because football and other industries, like every big industry has their research and development. That's what they'd say. Mm. The bit where you've got to work out what the exciting thing is costs money. It costs lots of money to invest in that. And we don't do any of it. And Manchester doesn't do it very well, and the UK doesn't do it very well.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we could go on talking for ages about this, I think. An important theme. And I just want to say also that that it's not as if... I mean, we have these problems here as well, of course, with like so. But yeah, I just want short. If you would mention one city in the whole world where you think the music scene is like flourishing,
short. I don't think I can say one specific scene because what I like, what I love, and it speaks to what you were speaking. It's the smaller cities. Mm. It's not one major city that, you know, they've undertook these initiatives and they've created a scene here. What I really love to see is smaller cities, you know, across the United States. I have peers in, you know, Taos, New Mexico, or Des Moines, Iowa, or Tampa, Florida, these places that you would never be like, wow, that must be a spectacular music scene. But what you have in these smaller music, these smaller markets, you have people that care. And like I spoke of with my earlier answer, they're not doing this with a very specific end in mind, right? And was alluded to yesterday. We're all probably going to lose money on it. Mm-hmm. Right? We're doing it for the love of art, the love of culture, to see how music progresses, you know, as art itself, to see how it changes our community around us. You know, within the States, we are in a very divisive moment in our culture. And so many of these smaller markets, what I see happening there is different, you know, these different divided classes of our world coming together in this one space. So yeah, it's for me, it's not a specific market.
No.
But it's what can happen when those musical institutions are allowed to thrive. I tend to, something I've said in the past is, you know, America no longer has a cultural meeting place. Historically, right, there was religion. And I'm fine with religion going to the wayside. But you know, as humans, archetypally, we need a place to come together and, you know, for lack of a better word, have communion. And I think these smaller venues in these markets that are often overlooked, that's what's truly provided there. It's it's a meeting place for humanity. When you go into those places, you know, people of all political walks of life, of, you know, a variety of socioeconomic walks of life, they can come together and just experience humanity.
Thank you. But we kind of have to wrap it up, but just short, like one city or one...
It's so hard, you know. It's
so hard.
You go to one city, you go to these amazing clubs, and next time you come there, that club is gone. So, yeah, but I think I agree more with the... Also, what you said before, but, you know, the people that actually care that much and don't really care about losing money. And when you go to that place and play, you feel welcome, and you feel that there is a culture in the building that's there for one reason only, not for creating a business, you know? Like people here in Gothenburg, where what we had with Truck Stop Alaska, where, you know, you create an atmosphere where you hear bands talking about, oh yeah, we're going there. That is on the tour, Truck Stop Alaska. We really need to, you know, that's going to be amazing. Mm. Those kind of spaces exist here and there. But of course, we as a band spend like one, maybe two nights in a city, so we don't go to 10 clubs. We go to the club we play. But they're everywhere, actually. Mm. They are, yeah.
Cool. Short.
I mean, there's loads of different interest places, but I think I mentioned before Hastings is a great example of what is possible. So Hastings on the south coast, it's quite high unemployment. It's not a prosperous area. It's between London and Brighton. As a result of those circumstances, a lot of creative people have moved there. But it's seen, it's 90,000 people on a coast. So you've got half your CBD, is it called. It's brilliant. You've had half a dozen really good bands come out. And there's no money. The venues are pubs. They're not like, it's not like Manchester. People don't pay. But there's just loads of people who are excited about music, and you can go out and there'll be everything from like little kids to old people and all kinds of music. And it's in the DNA, it's in the blood. You know what I mean? That, and you can go to another 90,000 population town and it'll be dead. There'll be nothing. There'll be one guy trying to get. So I think those are what's exciting. But the point about Hastings is it could happen anywhere. That's what's exciting. It's a mindset. It's not, you don't need all the venues I listed off in Manchester. If you've got them, you're going to get that kind of success. What you need is six people to go, okay, we can do this. We're going to make it happen. And then six becomes 12. So I love scenes like that. Like we said, small places where a few people can really make something visible are super cool and exciting. Yeah. So that's why I like
it. Cool. That's where we want to go. Okay, we need to wrap it up. I don't know, do we have any time for questions? No, sorry.
So that deliberately.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Thomas, Jesse, and Jeff. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.